The FT.
North Korea launched an attack on a remote South Korean fishing island on Tuesday, killing four South Koreans and destroying dozens of houses. South Korea retaliated with shelling of its own. On the line is Christian Oliver, the FT's correspondent in Seoul. Christian, this incident appeared to come out of the blue, but can you tell us a bit about the background? Was it entirely unprovoked?
Yes, it was entirely unprovoked. The North Koreans will claim that the South Koreans fired first and that there was some naval activity in the water that worried them. The truth is that ships are always wandering around this disputed maritime border. There's continual firing exercises from both parties. Were there to be an episode of this nature anywhere else, you might be able to say that somehow the North Koreans had panicked, or for some reason they decided to attack the South for fear that they were themselves in some kind of danger. But this is a very well-calculated place to attack, because it's still in a zone where they don't think that they will actually escalate the conflict into a full war. So it has all the hallmarks of an attack that's been calculated in advance.
The clash has obviously rattled nerves in capitals around the world, not least because North Korea is a nuclear-armed state. What's been the response among the South Korean public?
It's very hard to sort of talk about public opinion in Korea, because although the Koreans themselves joke about themselves as being a herd and having herd behaviour, on issues like North Korea, there's just a multitude of different opinions. The older generation certainly have a more sort of bellicose attitude towards the North. A lot of parliamentarians have been attacking the defence minister today, saying that we should have fought back. That's also the opinion in the conservative press. However, there's also a lot of public opinion that realizes how dangerous this is, that realizes the importance of the economy here, that realizes the calculated game. That said, the general public mood over this is a bit different from the sinking of a warship in March. At that time, the country was awash with conspiracy theories that really the North Koreans couldn't have done this to us, they're our brothers. In this case, it cannot be doubted that it's a very calculated North Korean attack, and an attack against what were known to be civilian targets, people's homes. And because of that, I think it's had a far more shocking impact in some ways on the public level than the warship.
Is it clear in this case what the purpose was?
No. When we look at North Korea, it's always sensible to look at it first from what they're doing domestically. And their first priority is always the message that they're sending to their own military and political elites. So I think our number one assumption has to take the idea that this is something to do with the succession, that Kim Jong-il, the dictator, is passing power over to his third son, Kim Jong-un. To do that, he's building him political capital with a series of victories against the South. If we look at that model, we can also explain that the sinking of the South Korean warship in March, we can explain this month's revelation of a new uranium enrichment facility, probably to link the son's name with being a genius in technological advances in the state propaganda. Outside analysts often think that North Korea is appealing for talks, that it's trying to get noticed on the world stage, that it can try and negotiate something out of the international community. However, that sort of logic is losing a bit of credibility in that the international community has made an assumption now that really North Korea is never going to surrender its nuclear arsenal away. So it's very unclear what the point or what the actual remit of talks would be. And for that reason, this as a bid for dialogue, if it is one, seems very, very desperate indeed.
What about the repercussions for the wider region? Is South Korea close to deciding that it needs to acquire a nuclear deterrent of its own?
Almost certainly not, although that's a very difficult question. The American influence over South Korea is almost certainly big enough at the moment that South Korea understands full well that if it goes nuclear, Japan will, China will be absolutely furious. It'll just make the whole security situation for Northeast Asia very, very volatile indeed. That said, South Korea has definitely dabbled with this idea in the past. Basically, it's got a clean record at the moment. Nobody thinks that it's doing so. It's also even taboo to ask for the nuclear weapons to, for U.S. nuclear weapons to be deployed back in South Korea. So it doesn't seem an immediate danger.
So just in the coming days and weeks, what's the likely outcome of this? Is it going to be contained, or do you see a danger that it could flare up again?
It's a very risky thing for the North Koreans to have done, because this is unknowable, but it does look like they're calibrating it into a painful territory where the South Koreans know, truth be told, their best response is to do nothing. However, North Korea might get carried away. It might push its luck too far to a point where South Korea has to draw a line in the sand and say, we cannot allow this continual bloodshed on our territory and must respond in this way. So it's a dangerous period. However, the instincts of the Korean government seem to be to try and cautiously play it safe, show a display of force with the US military in the Yellow Sea, take the small measures that it can in sort of limiting bilateral ties that are really wholly symbolic now between North and South Korea, and try and resist the growing voice of lawmakers, parliamentarians in South Korea to try and take some retaliation. So I think the chances still are that they will manage to steer a course away from open conflict.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.